On the program last week, we began a series of four messages on salvation. And I begin by saying, if you will remember, that the Bible central theme is the theme of salvation, the theme of bringing into a good and a correct and a reconciled relationship to the Lord God, and that has to be done before a person can be saved, because God cannot reach down and touch man, or he would be contaminated with the sin of man. So the whole Bible then is about how to get saved. Now there's lots more in it. There's lots more in it. It reveals to us God. It reveals to us. In fact, there isn't anything in the Bible that is revealed to us that doesn't have some connection with salvation. You say, preacher, there's an awful lot of Bible there, and I'm sure I could find some verses that's not related to salvation. Well, you take any verse in the Bible, even though it just be a genealogy. You take any verse in the Bible, and you read that verse, and you continue studying what that verse means, you'll wind up at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not do so, then you have gone astray somewhere along the line. So Christ then is the theme of salvation, and you'll end up with Jesus Christ on the cross. Now that's what I want to talk to you about today, the cross of salvation. It took the Son of God, deity, to come to save men. And then it took him dying on the cross in order to save men. He did not just come and present himself as an example, as has been said so many times by the liberals. No, he did not come just to show us the way. He did not come just to guide us in a godly path. That is not why Jesus came. Now, he does show us a godly way, and he does guide us in a godly path. And many verses in the Bible teach us how we should live whenever we come into the family of God. But at the same time, the main theme is that Christ had to come and go to the cross. He had to go to the cross in order to bring about our redemption. Now let's look at a verse of Scripture in John chapter 12 and verse 32. John chapter 12 and verse 32. I'm just reading the one verse. However, there are many, many, many verses in the Bible that we could refer to. But just this one is sufficient because it's so clear. It's so plain. Now, he says, now if I and I, that's Jesus Christ talking himself, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now this I is Jesus, and being lifted up is being lifted up on the cross. It's not just being lifted up in the admiration of men. Down through the years, thousands and thousands of different cults and religions have pretended to lift up Jesus Christ. Now, of course, it's been a pretense because their religion has been false. But at the same time, they've lifted him up. They've praised him. They've said he is the way that God chose to save us. They've said all kind of things good about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet men are not saved as a result of just lifting up Jesus in our admiration or lifting up Jesus in honor and praise. And he deserves all the honor and all the praise that we can possibly give him. But that is not what this verse says. Why don't you just simply read it for what it is and for what it says? I, if I be lifted up from the earth, not lifted up in the eyes of men, not lifted up with the lips of men, not lifted up with the praise of men, not lifted up with the shouting of men, not lifted up with glorious words of adoration that have been used in my some of the sermons that I read that were preached many, many years ago, how they did magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet hundreds died and went to hell listening to those messages. So he is not talking here about just lifting up Jesus Christ in admiration or in praise. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, that means if I be hung on a cross. Now you say, why a cross? Well, now, God chose that method before the foundation of the world for the Son of God to die upon. And I have no argument with that. I believe that with all of my heart, that salvation was planned before the foundation of the world, and that God planned it just exactly like it happened. There was not one thing that was different. There was not one thing that was changed. And every prophecy that God placed in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, concerning him. And I believe that certainly, God knew how Jesus was going to die. In fact, Jesus knew how he was going to die. He said, if I be lifted up. Now, if he had been strangled, the blood would not have been shed. You say, or if he had been poisoned, the blood would not have been shed. If he had just been stoned, then all of the blood would not have drained from his body to create the death of that body. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood, God says in Leviticus, and the life of man is in his blood. Whenever it stops flowing and flows no more, the man is dead. And I think you know that and realize that. Whenever the blood stops flowing, the man is dead. Whatever else has taken place, that is the thing that brings about death. Well, when Adam sinned, God said, you're going to die. Well, if the life of the blood is in the flesh, then the death of the blood is in the flesh as well. And so, therefore, whenever Adam's blood stopped flowing, he died. And that brought death upon the whole human race when he sinned. So that blood, then, is the seat, might I say, of all of the life that we have physically, and it's all of the death that we have spiritually, until something is done about it, until God brings about his plan of redemption. And here it is, lifted up on the cross. By lifting Jesus up on the cross, by piercing his side, by nailing his feet, by nailing his hands, by putting the crown of thorns upon his head, there was not 1 ounce of blood in his body that was not drained. All of his blood was drained. And by the way, it was not drained on Calvary's hill and went into the dirt and then eventually back into the elements, because it was the pure blood of God. You say, well, what happened to it? Read Hebrews chapter 7, 8, and 9, and you will find that that blood had to be offered. And Jesus Christ, being our high priest, was in a position to offer that blood on the altar in heaven to make an atonement for our sins. No other blood would have done. We spent our first program talking about it had to be Christ. It had to be Jesus. Nothing else would work. Now, this blood had to be Jesus' blood. And whenever it was shed, it was carried by Jesus Christ to the throne of God. There it was offered upon the mercy seat in heaven. You say, well, preacher, that's a little deep for me. Well, it wouldn't be if you just read the Bible, and particularly read those 3 chapters in Hebrews that I mentioned. It wouldn't seem very deep to you to know that the blood in the ground would do us no good. You see, it's the blood on the altar that brings about redemption and forgiveness. And all of the blood that was placed on the altar in the Old Testament, all of the blood that was placed on the altar, though it was the blood of animals, all that blood had to be applied. It had to be applied. Every bit of it had to be applied. And it was applied. In Egypt, they had to kill the lamb and apply the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And Whenever they got into the wilderness and they killed the animals, they had to apply the blood upon the altar and upon the various pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. They had to apply it. Well, if all of that is a type of what was to take place when Jesus came, then his blood had to be applied. And it was applied in heaven on the throne of God, on the mercy seat, there to make an atonement for our sins. Now, so Jesus very plainly says, if I be lifted up. So the cross then is necessary. And you'll find the cross from one end of the Bible to the other. You'll find it typified in the Old Testament. You'll find Elijah throwing a stick in the water to make the axe head, Elisha, to make the axe head float. You'll find many other times in the Old Testament where the tree was used and it was a type of the cross that Jesus was to hang upon. And now here Jesus says very plainly, if I be lifted up from the earth, not just lifted up in imagination, but lifted up from the earth. Don't change the words of the Bible. You don't have to worry about God giving us a Bible that needs a lot of changes in it. God wouldn't preserve for us his word and tell us it's his word and have a lot of mistakes in it, have to have the intellect of man to make it say what God wanted it to say. God said what he wanted it to say when he said it. And it's written down here and preserved for us in the English language, and I thank God for that. It's preserved in other languages as well, and continually being preserved in other languages as we go along, as it is translated from either directly from the Authorized Version or directly from the Textus Receptus. Now, let's go ahead here. This lifted up from the earth. When he said earth, that's what he meant. He was hanging between heaven and earth. Now, there's a beautiful picture of itself right there. The Son of God came from heaven to earth to bring about the reconciliation of man. Now, we've got him now lifted up from the earth. He is not walking on the earth anymore. He is hanging on a cross between heaven and earth, shedding his blood that he might reach down and get the hand of man, and then reach up and get the hand of God, and put the hand of man in the hand of God, and bring about reconciliation through his blood. All right, now this next verse here, the next statement in that verse, I will draw all men unto me. And that's exactly what takes place when the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Those who were around the cross, some of them were making fun and laughing and joking, but you can't tell me they were not touched and drawn by that cross. The centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. And others around the cross believed, and Jesus prayed for them. Even though they had been led by the chief priest and the Pharisees to make fun, the cross touched their heart. Now, you show the cross today. I don't care where it's shown. You show the cross today, and it touches the heart of man. You take something as simple as a steeple on a church. I had a doctor to tell me, I don't know that he was saved, I rather doubt it. But he was my family physician, and I had him tell me one time that as long as he was able to leave his office at night, or the hospital at night, and head to his home, and he could see the steeples all over town lit up, and see every steeple all over the churches in Greenville pointing up, he knew that everything was all right. Well, he even recognized a steeple as pointing to God and him not saved. Now, how about the cross? Well, the cross, someone has said, the cross, the vertical bar of the cross, that's the part that was placed in the ground and reached up, pointing toward God, shows the will of God, what God requires of man. the crossbar on the cross, and this is one reason I believe it did have a crossbar. You can believe what you please and listen to history professors if you please, but I believe it did have a crossbar, or it wouldn't be called a cross in the Bible. But the horizontal bar of the cross showed the will of man. And man said, I don't want to go God's way. I don't want to go God's will. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. So he draws a horizontal line, and that horizontal line crosses the vertical line that reveals the will of God and the command of God, and where they cross is where sin is. That's where sin is. And it was on that cross, covering that part of the cross where the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was hung. And there he was hung on the cross. You say, well, did he do all of that just for symbol? No, I don't know that he did, but I do know this. I know that God planned it. I know that God, before the foundation of the world, had decided how Jesus was going to die, and that Jesus knew how he was going to die, that he knew that he was going to shed his blood. And so therefore I say to you today that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is necessary to our salvation. It's revealed in Scripture from one end to the other. Isaiah said it pleased God to bruise him, and that he was lifted up for us on the cross. Isaiah doesn't use that term, but the Scriptures over and over again talk about Jesus being lifted up on the cross to make an atonement for our sins. And then the shedding of the blood, it was necessary that he be on the cross, that that blood might be shed. All of it. His entire body, the blood was shed and did not go back into the dirt or the air. It was taken by Jesus when he was raised from the dead to the throne of God, and a man now stands in the presence of God. Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to think about the cross of salvation. Without it, there would be no salvation for you and for me. So turn your eyes upon that cross today and realize that it was there that Jesus made the sacrifice for your sins.